السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, for the last few weeks we have been discussing a very important topic, and inshallah today will be the final discussion on that topic. The title of the topic is Avoid Taunting. Avoid Taunting. We made mention in the first discussion that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a beautiful constitution. The first recipients of that constitution were the Sahaba. They inculcated the entire constitution. They did not pick and choose. So whatever was the like and the demand of Allah and the Rasul was taken completely. So basically, when we look at the behavior of the Sahaba towards each other, it seems like that the behavior towards each other was like the behavior of one brother towards another brother. So there was a lot of sacrifice, there was a lot of forgiving, there was a lot of helping, so on and so forth. And we see this repeated throughout the profound legacy of the Sahaba. One of the things that I made mention last week that is very important for us to replicate the life of the Sahaba and the profound legacy is that we avoid taunting. We abstain from being judgmental. We focus upon our shortcomings rather than the shortcomings of others. Because focusing upon the shortcomings of others basically will push us to taunt others. It will allow us to develop the illness of self-conceit, ujub. And basically all these ailments are very, very negative when it comes to the brotherhood. I made mention that if we change our dimension, our mindset, it will assist us in inculcating the profound legacy of the Sahaba. The mind, we have to change the mindset. And basically I said that we should remove from our vocab the word sinner in our mind. We should remove that. And we should replace it with sick person. That whenever we see a person doing something that he should not do, indeed there are words in Arabic, fasiq, fujur, fisq or fujur, indeed, but we find that these words are getting the better of us. So we need to replace it with a word that will allow us to inculcate the legacy of the Sahaba. And that is, whenever we see a person violating the command of Allah or the Rasul, we look at that person as a sick person. In our mind, if we think of the person as a sick person, our method of treatment will be very, very different. If we look at him as a sinner, our method of treatment will be very, very different. And basically, the people that are very, very wise and have diagnosed this problem in modern time, they have come up with this formula. And we need to take this this formula and need it to be injected in the mind and remove that word sinner that basically is not working for us. It's not working for us. We become judgmental, and basically after some time we become sinners. After some time we become sinners for the way we approach the situation. Now I'm going to, in the 15 or 20 minutes that we have, I'm going to share one hadith that basically will allow us to approach different situations in a fashion that is desired by Allah and the Rasul, and the dua will allow us to remain very, very humble. Now, as we know that there is physical sickness and there is spiritual sickness, and indeed the impact of physical sickness ends after 50-60 years, but the impact of spiritual sickness does not end on the extraction of the soul. The impact is well beyond that. So spiritual sickness is much greater than physical sickness. And of course it does impact upon the human being even in this realm, in this theater, in this dunya. So the hadith that I'm going to share has been recorded by Imam Tirmizi. The Rawi, the narrator, is Hazrat Umar. And Hazrat Umar says that Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ra'a sahiba bala'in." Man ra'a sahiba bala'in. Whoever sees a person in distress. Now the theologians, the muhaddithun, have made mention at this point that bala means sickness. They say bala is translated as sickness. That is the cause of worry, anxiety, weakness. Then the theologians further discuss on an academic level, is this sickness restricted to the physical or is it inclusive to the spiritual? So the conclusion is that this sickness is inclusive to the physical as well as the spiritual. So I'm encapsulating the academic understanding of the theologians, the scholars. So they say, "Man ra'a sahiba bala'in," whoever sees a person in sickness, physical or spiritual, faqal. Then the person, he says the following, "Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani mimma btalaka bih wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafzeela." I will translate this dua in a few moments. But he recites this dua, "Illa ufiya min dhalik." This person will be protected, saved from that sickness. The next word that concludes the narrative is amazing. Ka'inam ma'kan ma'ash. Of whatever nature the sickness is, as long as the person lives. Ka'inam ma'kan ma'ash. Whatever the nature be of the sickness. So there are different levels of sickness, different intensities. It doesn't matter if it is from the physical realm or the spiritual realm. It doesn't matter what kind of sickness it is, how intense it is, how powerful it is. If the person recites the dua, "Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani ila akhirihi illa ufiya min dhalik," he will be saved from that sickness. Now before we translate and I comment upon this, I would like to make mention of the understanding of Hazrat Ja'far that is one of the profound scholars of Islam, he says that the person that is to recite this dua should recite within one's heart. So we go to visit the sick person, maybe physical or spiritual, we don't recite it aloud, because that will upset him. That will upset him. And we're reciting this dua so Allah can hear me, hear the person. And Allah doesn't need the tone to be loud. Allah can hear even the whisper of a human being. So as Ja'far rahimahullah says, that the person should recite this dua when he sees the sick person, physical or spiritual, in his heart. Now what is the translation of this dua? Alhamdulillahilladhi, all praise be to Allah. And basically when we have food, one example, when we have food, we start with Bismillah, but when we consume the meal, immediately after that we say Alhamdulillah. And the reason, one of the reasons why we start off our supplication after the consumption of the meal with Alhamdulillah is to say, Ya Allah, this food was provided by you. If I was to work alone to secure my sustenance, I could not even bring one grain on the table. All praise for you. And that's why the Quran, the last kalam of Allah, starts with Alhamdulillah. So basically the demand of Alhamdulillah is that we humble ourselves. The demand of Alhamdulillah. That everything that I am and everything that belongs to me is the grace and the generosity of Allah. Main to kuch nahi hu, mere paas to kuch nahi, koi liyaqat nahi, koi kabiliyat nahi. I am nothing, I am insignificant. So when we see a sick person, physical or spiritual, we start off by saying Alhamdulillah. That Ya Allah, if I am not affected by this sickness, it's not because I am fit physically or fit spiritually, it is your grace. The philosophy behind Alhamdulillah does not allow us to develop self-conceit. It's ujub. No. It doesn't allow us. And that's why the Nabi of Allah, who was very precise in the selection of words, very clinical, he starts off the dua by Alhamdulillah. Afani mimma btalaka bih. You have saved me from this distress. Ya Allah, you have saved me. He's drinking alcohol. I could have been his sati. I could have been the one that was drinking the alcohol. He is not praying. I may have been that person that was not praying. This is your grace, Ya Allah. You favored me. Afani, you saved me. Mimma btalaka bih. From that which inflicted this person. It is you that saved me. Meri to koi kabiliyat nahi. I'm nothing. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. And you have preferred me over so many creations. That first of all, there are multiple, numerous creations, known and not known to human beings, visible and non-visible, discovered and not discovered, مخلوقات of Allah, in this domain where we live, and in this planet and in this universe. But you have given me preference over so many makhlukat that you have made me an insan. Then you made me an ummat of the Nabi. Then ummat ijabi, the one that accepts the message of the Nabi. Then you made me from that group that practices and safeguarded me from the sickness. And I will try to be careful that I don't use the word sin, because I want to eliminate this from the mind, because it is destroying the fabric of our community. That you did not make me a sick person, and you preferred me over so many makhlukat. Now if we read this dua, when we see a person who is sick physically or spiritually, we will humble ourselves, and by the barakat of this practice, we will be safeguarded. Imam Ibn Jazari, the Musannif of Hisn Haseen, that is one of the most famous books on the compilation of the Masnoon Du'as, has made mention of this dua, and the title is Safeguard Yourself from Distress and Sickness. So all people should remember this dua, learn it off by heart, and whenever you come across a person that is sick, read this dua in the heart. So let's say a person, we go to visit him in the hospital and he has cancer, and we recite this dua with conviction, we will be saved from cancer. It is the words of the Nabi of Allah, the conviction should be there. We see a person, he has drifted away from ita'at, from obedience. We read this dua when we see him, starting off by saying, Alhamdulillah, we humble ourselves, Ya Allah, Ya Tera Shukr. All praise is due for Allah. We will be safeguarded from that. It is a powerful dua. But remember, within the heart. Now, when we see a sick person, there are many different sentiments, emotions, thoughts that pass through the mind. Many. Many are positive, constructive, and many are destructive. That's how the human being operates, the mind operates. So we need to filter those thoughts that are destructive. And we need to support the thoughts that are constructive for our own well-being. For our own well-being. And I'm going to make mention of one thing that Hazrat Umar used to say. The greatest personality that I believe after the Nabi of Allah, when it used to come to the building of the character of a human being. I was studying his profound statements. The one that has introduced welfare. The one that introduced all that we see nowadays in the West. He was the one that introduced it 1400 years ago. Born in Arabia. Did not go to an academic institution. Allah had blessed him. And sometimes when you pick on the words that he said, after the departure of the Nabi and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, now he was building the character of the people. He says something amazing that struck me. And I would like you to listen to these words. Register them on your heart. Register them on your heart. He said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ شِفَى وَإِيَّاكُمْ ذِكْرَ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّهُ دَى. Beautiful statement. Absolutely beautiful statement. He said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ شِفَى. Make it incumbent upon yourself the talk of Allah. We need to talk. Allah has given us an articulator. I can't say to a person, shut your mouth and don't talk. It is impractical. If that was the command of Allah, that a human being is not allowed to talk, people say, why did Allah give me the articulator, the zaban, the lisan, the tongue? That's why Islam is a practical religion. Has given us, sent us in this dunya with carnal desires and says, get married. Islam didn't say, suppress your carnal desires. No. Islam says, yes, there is a channel where you can entertain your carnal desires. You can bring them out. That is your wife. That is your husband. Islam is a practical religion. Doesn't say that suppress your carnal desires. Because if the purpose of the carnal desires was the suppression of it, why were the carnal desires given? Allah wants us to enjoy life. Allah does not want us to be in a continuous battle with ourselves. There is an eruption of desires and I have to suppress it. Eruption of desires and I have to suppress it. So we need to talk. So who do we talk about? Hazrat Umar understood. He said, "Alaykum bi dhikrillah." Talk about Allah. Allah ki brahi bayan karo. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. Speak about the greatness of your Allah. One of the early injunctions. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, kum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fakabbir. Apne rab ki kibriyai bayan karo. Talk about your Lord. That craving that a person has, that is in conformity with the chip that Allah has placed in our soul, that we need to talk. Talk about Allah. And the talking of Allah, فَإِنَّهُ shifa, is cure. It is medicine. It eliminates not only the spiritual sicknesses, but even the physical sicknesses. Because one of the greatest physical sicknesses is hum and huzn, anxiety, worry. And a person that is connected with Allah, one of the first gifts that comes his way is that Allah removes worry and anxiety. A few weeks ago, the brother is looking at me right now. I won't mention his name. A brother came to me, he said, "I'm very worried. I've started to practice, but feeling restless." I said, "Hang on, keep going on." 3-4 days ago, that brother comes. He said, "Everything has been taken away. Everything has been taken away. I feel so relaxed. I feel at ease." And you could see the happiness on his face. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he was building the character of the Sahaba, he said, "Alaykum bi dhikrillah. Aapne upar lazim kar lo Allah ka dhikr. Isme shifa hai. Make it incumbent upon yourself the remembrance of Allah, because in this is cure. Wa iyyakum dhikra an-nas fa innahu da. And safeguard yourself from speaking about others, because this is a sickness. Wa iyyakum dhikra an-nas, talking about others. Dhikra an-nas, the dhikr of others, the dhikr of human beings. Fa innahu da, it is sickness. And we have preferred sickness over cure. We have preferred, jazakullah, dhikr an-nas over dhikr Allah. We have preferred dhikr an-nas, the dhikr of people, over dhikr Allah. Dhikr an-nas is taking us back. Dhikr Allah will propel us into the mighty court of Allah Almighty. We've run out of time. I'm going to make mention of one statement that I came across in my studies. There are two words, forget and forgive. But before I make mention of that, I'm going to attach with this the narrative from our Nabi of Allah. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Allah has many characteristics. Allah has many, many characteristics, unlimited. We need to adorn ourselves with those akhlaq of Allah. He is merciful, we become merciful. He forgives, we should forgive. He is truthful, we should be truthful. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. This is a topic in itself. Keeping that in mind, listen to the statement. People, us, we forget 100 good deeds for one fault. People forget 1,000, not 100. People forget 1,000 good deeds for one fault. And Allah forgives 1,000 bad deeds for one good. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. And the reason why? Why? Because we focus upon the negatives rather than the positives. And Allah focuses upon the positives rather than the negatives. 90 saal ka bimar aadmi, 90 years of sickness, that person. He says, "Ya Allah, forgive me." Allah forgives. 90 years of sickness, faults. One moment of repentance and Allah looks at that. Human beings, he may do 90 years of service. He slips once and they focus upon that slip rather than the 90 years of service. Dangam, what are we doing? I would like to conclude the entire discussion on the ayat of Surah An-Nisa. And basically this is to reinforce what I am saying. Our mizaj, temperament, our behavior should be in accordance to the mizaj and the temperament of the Quran. That should be our mizaj. Now in Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, verse number 19. So you can go back home, you can study. It is a very lengthy verse. I'm going to go to the last section of the verse. Allah Almighty says, فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ. Speaking to the men. فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ. If you dislike them, meaning the women, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا. It may be that you dislike a thing. This word shay'a is a depiction of the mindset of the general human population, that we focus upon one thing, that is to our disliking. Shay'a, ikjis. It may be that you dislike one thing. وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And through that, Allah will bring a good deal of good for you. A great deal of good for you. We need to be very, very positive in our mind. We can't be pessimistic. Manfi soch nahi honi chahiye, musbat soch. Musbat soch. Manfi nahi. We have to be positive in our mind. We should look at the goods of people. Once we focus upon the goods, whenever we do speak and we shift away from dhikrullah to dhikrun nas, it still will be productive because we're going to speak about the good. But if we are going to focus upon the mistakes and we shift away from dhikrullah to dhikrun nas, first of all, we are going to develop many, many internal sicknesses. And secondly, we are going to destroy the status of our credit. Our a'mal salihah are going to be taken away from our account. Allah Rabbul Izzat allow each one of us to adorn ourselves with the akhlaq of the Nabi. And Allah Almighty allow us to avoid taunt. Allah allow us to be protected from self-conceit. Allah Almighty allow us to be protected from being judgmental. Allah Almighty allow us to grow as a community from strength to strength. And allow us to focus upon our weaknesses rather than the weaknesses of our brothers. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.